Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I started on Monday of this week talking about how to fulfill your destiny. And I tell you, I've already shared some things about this that have just blessed me. This is one of the things that got my spiritual life with the Lord started. I just realized that there had to be more than what I was experiencing. And as I pursued trying to figure out what God's will for my life was, is when I encountered the Lord, and this is what turned my whole life around, March the 23rd, 1968, 41 years ago. Totally changed my life. And I tell you, I believe it's the same for many of you, that one of the reasons that you haven't had a greater encounter with the Lord is because the Lord and His purpose for your life is not the focus of what you're doing, but it's kind of an add-on. I don't know any Christian, now I'm talking about true born-again Christians, who wouldn't love to know for sure that what they're doing is what God wants them to do. But most people just don't feel that you can know that for sure. They feel that you're pretty much on your own and you just wish and hope and pray that all of the stuff is going right. But I've been sharing things on the first 2 days of this week to show you that no, God has a destiny for every person. God created you with a purpose. And here's the good news, that God wants to reveal His purpose for your life to you more than you want it revealed. I can promise you that. You know, there's a lot of ways of making this point, but Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Let me just turn over and read this passage to you. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Other translations say things like, to give you a hope and a future. The Lord has thoughts, plans for you. And they're good thoughts, thoughts of peace, and to give you an expected end. Some people like to say a hope and a future, which that's great. But, you know, I like the way that it's said here in the King James, to give you an expected end. In other words, you don't have to just wonder about what the end of your life is going to be like. Are you going to somehow or another be fulfilled? Are you going to be happy? Are you going to be content when you come to the end of your life? Well, most people say, well, I hope so, but I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know that I can guarantee anything. The Apostle Paul said, he says, I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of God. You know what? I can truthfully say that I have an expected end. Because I have been seeking the Lord and cooperating with Him, I expect my last days to be satisfying and fruitful and fulfilled, because you can get to a place, that's what God has planned for you. And if you will cooperate with the plan, you can have an expected end, not just wonder and wish and hope how things are going to turn out. Boy, that's exciting to me. And some people say, well, then how do I get there? Look at the next verse. It says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me when you shall and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Now see, this is a real key. God has a plan for you, plans of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, a hope and a future. But it doesn't automatically come to pass. You have to seek and find when you search with all of your heart. Here's another way of saying this. As long as you can go through life not knowing for certain that you are in the center of God's will, then you will. But when you reach a place to where, God, I believe that you have a purpose. I believe you want to show me that purpose, and I am not quitting. I am searching with all of my heart. Then you'll find. That's what it says. I've had people come to me before when I talked out along these lines and said, well, I've prayed and I've asked God to show me what He wanted to do, and I didn't hear from God. Well, it was something like this. God, my favorite television show is coming on in 5 minutes. If you can show up and change my life and deal with everything so that I don't have to miss as the stomach turns on television, or miss your game plan or whatever it is that you're doing, then I'll give you 5 minutes. And if you can come through in 5 minutes, God, I'd love to know what your will is. That's not seeking with all of your heart. You know what? God isn't going to reveal Himself to you just casually. You have to make a real commitment. This goes back to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Being a sacrifice, that's where you aren't in control, but you are on the altar. You are dead to yourself and alive to God. That's just the normal Christian duty. And then you renew your mind, verse 2 says, and you prove the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. But see, it's involved with sacrifice, total commitment. I was using this verse on my program yesterday, and I wanted to go back to it because this is the Lord speaking to Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. You know, I talked about this yesterday and spent quite a bit of time about before he was even formed, God knew him, had a purpose for him. It's the same with every one of you watching this program. God has a purpose for your life. You are not an accident. It's not up to you to just go do your own thing. God is not a distant God who isn't involved with every one of us. Even though there's billions of people on this planet, God knows everyone, had a purpose for every single person, has a place for every person to occupy. And it's obvious that the vast majority of people aren't fulfilling God's purpose. But that doesn't mean that God was just created us haphazardly and it's up to us to just pick and choose and do whatever we want to. No, God's got a purpose for you. I don't believe it's up to you to just pick your own vocation, to choose where you're going to live and what you're going to do. Now, I believe God has given us that authority, that freedom. It's obvious. He doesn't just sit in and override our will and move us like pawns and make things happen. But if we would yield to God, God will guide you in what vocation you have, who you marry, where you're supposed to live, what your life is all about. That's what he's saying to Jeremiah. This is amazing to me. He says, before you were formed in your mother's belly, I knew you. Before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. And look at Jeremiah's response. He said, ah, Lord God, behold, I'm a child. I cannot speak, for I am a child. In other words, when people see God's plan for your life, it nearly every single time overwhelms you because God's plans for you are bigger and better than your plans for yourself. You know, one of the bill of goods that Satan has sold people is that if you were to do this and yield to God, God is going to make you go live in a monastery, or he's going to send you to Africa to live in a grass hut, or you're going to do something that will just ruin your life, that God is a spoiled sport and doesn't have anything good planned for you. No, it's just the opposite. Here's Jeremiah, who wasn't looking for anything near as big as what God had planned for him. And when he saw it, he says, God, I'm a child. I can't speak. This is too big for me. You know, this is exactly what happened to me. I was an introvert. I couldn't even look at a person in the face and talk to them. I could not get on television, radio, stand in front of people and minister. I'm doing something that is completely outside of my comfort zone. Now, I've done it for so long now, and I've renewed my mind that I honestly don't even think about it much now. But I tell you what, this is an absolute miracle what I'm doing. God will call you to do something that is beyond yourself. Here's another way of saying it. If your life isn't supernatural, then you're superficial. God didn't call you to do just what you can do in your own strength and power. God will call you to do something that's bigger than yourself so that you will have to depend upon him and draw on his ability, and God can flow through you and manifest his power and bring people to himself through the demonstration of his power in your life. God wants every one of us to come up higher and do more than what we think we can do. Most of us are shooting at nothing and hitting it every time. God wants you to raise your sights. He wants you to believe for something bigger. This is what he was telling Jeremiah. And Jeremiah said, oh, Lord God, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. And look at what the Lord said to him. He said in verse 7, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot. Anyway, let me just skip down. He gave a prophecy against some of Judah's enemies. But then he said, if you are intimidated by them, he says, I will confound you in front of these people. And anyway, here's the point that I'm wanting to get at. Like I said, I was an introvert and I tried to minister. God showed me his will and showed me these things that he wanted me to do and that I was going to be having a worldwide ministry. And man, I couldn't even talk to people. I couldn't talk to a stranger. It had to be somebody I really knew and was comfortable with. And it was just overwhelming. And I tried for 2 years to minister and it was pitiful. Some of you think it's pitiful now. It was a lot more pitiful back in the beginning. It was so bad that every time I ministered, I'd apologize to God and say, God, I'll never embarrass you or me again. And I'd swear I'd never try this again. And yet it's like Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9 says, Jeremiah got tired of speaking the word because of the rejection that it caused. And he says, I'm not going to speak anymore in the name of the Lord. But then he went on to say, but it was like fire shut up in his bones. He couldn't forbear. He had to open his mouth and speak. That's the way it was with me. I'd say, God, I'll never preach again. But it'd be like fire shut up in my bones. And I'd ask forgiveness and I'd go try again. And for 2 years, I held Bible studies weekly and I forced myself. And it was about to kill me because I was so fearful. And there's a lot of things that happened. But here's a major turning point in my life. That after Jamie and I got married, we got married October the 27th, 1972. And we moved to Dallas and we were in a little one bedroom apartment at the Kingsley Place Apartments in Dallas. And long story, but it was just a one bedroom apartment and I was studying the Word every day. And an opportunity had come up at the Baptist church that I attended. And they asked me to get up and preach on a Sunday morning with about 300 or 400 people there. And I said yes, because I had this desire. I knew God had called me to teach His Word. And yet as soon as I said yes, all of this fear and intimidation of me standing in front of people hit me. And I mean, I began to panic. And I went into a crisis mode, seeking God, praying, studying the Word, doing all of these things. And I went to bed one night and back then in 1973 is when this was, the early part of 73. Man, if I put my head on a pillow, I was asleep. It didn't take a second to go to sleep. And yet I went to bed that night and I laid there for 30 minutes and couldn't go to sleep. And I was wondering what was going on. And then the presence of the Lord got so real that I just got up out of bed. I went into our little living room in this one bedroom apartment. And I remember just, God, what's happening? And the presence of God became so real that, man, I fell on my face and I laid there for a long time. I don't know, hours, or I don't know how long it was. And I just was afraid to look up because God was in that room with me. I know He's always there, but this was a manifested presence of God. And as I prayed, I said, God, what's happening? And I really felt like the Lord gave me the same choice that He gave Solomon, where He appeared to Solomon in a dream and He said, what do you want? I'll give you anything you want. And Solomon asked for wisdom to be able to be a godly king. And it pleased the Lord so much that He said, because you didn't ask for riches or you didn't ask for the life of your enemies or long life for yourself, I'm going to grant your wish and give you the wisdom, but I'm also going to give you peace. I'm also going to give you riches and wealth. And God blessed him. I had just been studying those passages. And after being in the presence of the Lord here for hours, I just felt like the Lord said, I'll give you anything you want. And you know what I wanted? I wanted the ability to get over my fear of people and my being embarrassed and an introvert. And I asked God to give me the ability to speak His Word in a way that it would change people's lives. And as soon as I asked that, God drew me to these exact scriptures I've shared with you. And He told me, He said, Andrew, before I formed you in your mother's belly, before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and ordained you to be a prophet. And my first thought was when I saw this, was, oh God, this is too big, I can't do it. And He said, don't you ever say, I am a child. And you know, to the best of my ability, since that day, I've been intimidated a few times. There's times that I've been overwhelmed, but I have never, ever, ever again said, I can't do it. I said, I can do all things through Christ. And then the Lord went on to say how that He touched Jeremiah's mouth and put His Word in his mouth. And that night, this is in the early part of 1973, God touched me and put His words in my mouth. And immediately I began to start seeing a difference. When I got up in front of my little Baptist church on that layman Sunday in the spring of 1973, before that time, I had preached in 5 or 10 minutes was all I could force myself to go. I got up and preached nearly 2 hours. They had to come up and tell me to sit down and shut up. But I'd been saving up. Amen. I had it all bottled up on the inside of me. And I mean, though, it was like a dam broke and I was set free. And it has never been the same since. And there's another verse that goes along with this in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 14. The Lord also spoke this to me that same night. And it says, wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and the people would, and it shall devour them. And you know what? God spoke that to me, and I have seen this come to pass. Again, some of you may not be impressed with my ability to share the word and stuff, but you just don't know how far I've come. You don't know what it used to be like. And I can truthfully say that there are people's lives being transformed. And all of this began by me recognizing God had a purpose for my life. And as I sought Him, God revealed that He had called me to the ministry. And then I was just overwhelmed thinking, oh God, I'm a child. I can't speak in front of people. But as I kept seeking God, God put His word in my mouth and God touched me. And all of this, God preordained. Now, if you would have looked at me prior to 1968 when I had this encounter with the Lord, if you would have looked at me just based on my natural talents and abilities, my natural tendencies, nobody would have picked me to be a minister. Nobody would have picked me to be on television. And you know what? If I was picking, I wouldn't have picked me. That's absolutely true. You know, I have people make fun of my voice. It's better now than it used to be, believe it or not. But I've had people write in and say, boy, you reminded me of Gomer Pyle. And, you know, if I was picking people, I wouldn't have picked me. I wouldn't have chosen myself. There isn't anything in the natural that qualifies me. And that's one of the reasons I believe that God chose me is because when He called me, I didn't think, oh God, good choice. You are so wise. I can see the wisdom of picking me. Now that you've chosen me, you just introduce me and I can handle it from here. No, I'm doing something that's completely impossible for me to do. And because of that, it keeps me dependent upon God. And I think that that's the kind of people that God looks for. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, it says, you see your calling, brethren, how that not many mighty, not many noble, not many people that have all of these world's qualifications are called, but God has chosen foolish things of the world and base things of the world and things that are despised to bring to naught things that are. And the reason He does that is so that no flesh would glory in His presence. God puts out a bulletin, you know, asking for employment, exactly the opposite of the world. The world would say, if you have a PhD, if you have a bachelor's degree, if you have this talent, show me your resume. Prove to me that you're worthy. God does it just the opposite. If you're weak, if you're nothing, if you're base, if you're despised, if you have nothing going for you, apply within. God is looking for people who aren't full of themselves so that they can become full of God. That's the kind of people that God's looking for. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I have experienced what I'm talking to you about. God has a destiny. Just as sure as God meant me and revealed His will to my life. And you know what? Now for 41 years, I have been seeking God, and I haven't arrived, but I've left. And even though I'm not where I'm supposed to be, I'm still moving. I'm not where I used to be. And we're seeing things happen. God has revolutionized my life. And I'm trying to share my testimony, not so that I can brag on what God has done in my life. I'm really thankful for what He's done, and I am proud of what God has done. But I'm sharing this to encourage you. There's not a person watching this program that has less going for them than I had going for me. And you know what? God has turned my life around. And it may not be everybody's ideal, but you know what? For me, this is just awesome. You know, this is never going to happen, but if somehow or another somebody ever wanted me to run for president of the United States, I would not lower myself to that position. What I'm doing is much more important. Much more important. That's the way that I feel about it. And you know how all of this happened? Because I realized God had a destiny, a purpose for my life. I sought God. God revealed Himself to me. I've had encounters where God has equipped me to do things that I am completely unequipped to do. I have to depend upon God. I've had encounters with God that have changed my life, and not only my life, but I can point to hundreds and thousands of people that are born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, healed, delivered, people raised from the dead, miracles that have happened because of the encounter with the Lord that I've had. And again, you know, I am not a perfect example. I believe I could have done things better, but I can tell you that my life is making a difference. And God wants every person. You may not be called to be on television or to be on radio or do the things that I'm doing or what somebody else is doing. He may not call you to be a politician and president of the United States, but every one of you have been called by God to do something, to influence your world, to make a difference. There's people's lives who are hanging in the balance, and God has marked you to be the one that He wants to use to touch them. It might be a neighbor. It might be a family member. It might be an in-law or an outlaw or somebody that you work with at the office. But God has a purpose for your life, and you can't just go through life doing your own thing and dealing with your own problems. You need to find out what God's purpose is. And it's never too late. God has a purpose for your life. God wants to reveal Himself to you. But He won't force it on you. If you don't cry out, as that verse I used, Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 13, you have to seek with all of your heart and then you find. If you will seek, you'll find. If you'll knock, God will open it. If you'll ask, you will receive, but you have to begin to pursue the things of God before they happen. You know, I'm out of time today, but again, I'm going to continue this teaching again on my program tomorrow, and I'd like to encourage you to listen in. I think that this will really help you. And also, please get these materials. I've got a CD set and also this new Destiny Series DVD. Listen as our announcer gives you that information.
We're happy to announce that Destiny Stories Volume 1 is now available. Contained on one powerful DVD are the stories of real people who dared to believe that God had an exciting destiny for their lives. You'll be inspired and transformed as you hear their stories. Destiny Stories is available for a gift of any amount. Request DVD T3006D. Andrew's teachings played a central role in each of these destiny stories. Today, we're offering Andrew's four-part teaching titled, How to Fulfill Your Destiny. This teaching will help you discover your God-given destiny and teach you to walk in it. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1051C or DVD album T1051D when you contact us. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The first teaching in the CD album titled, Everyone Has a Destiny is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first teaching free of charge. Request teaching THT19C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
You know, I'd like to encourage you to get these products that we're offering. We have a CD set entitled How to Fulfill Your Destiny. We've also got a DVD set that is taken from these television programs that will give you all of this exactly the way it was presented on television. And then we have this brand new DVD set entitled Destiny Series. And there's actually 5 testimonies on here of people that we've interviewed who have just miraculous encounters with the Lord. You're going to be blessed by this. Matter of fact, starting on our program tomorrow, I'm going to play one of these DVD sets that I tell you will be a blessing to you. So please watch the program. Also, get these materials, this new volume entitled Destiny Series Volume 1.
You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Again, that number is 719-635-1111. Or you can reach us through our website, where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
We're getting close to our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be on June the 29th through July the 3rd, and it's going to be a great time for the whole family. We have children's ministry. We have it set up so that there are our CBC classes in the morning, but the afternoons are off, and then evening meetings. It's just a great time, and I believe that it could be a vacation for you and your whole family. The children will be blessed. So make plans to join me June the 29th through July the 3rd for our Summer Family Bible Conference.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Amsterdam for the Eurospirit Conference May 21st through the 23rd, in Raleigh, North Carolina for a Gospel Truth Seminar June 11th through the 13th, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, June 29th through July 3rd. He'll also be in Durant, Oklahoma, July 30th and 31st, and in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 6th through the 8th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.